You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, Bethel. Good to see you this morning. If you're doing good this morning, say, yep. Man, it is good to be here in Mishawaka, Indiana. And there's actually been three different times that we've tried to set this up. So it is finally good to be here with you and to see that all that God is doing. Would you just go ahead and look at the person next to you right now? Look at the person next to you. Just go ahead and tell them this morning. Say, you look good this morning. Go ahead and tell them right now. You look good this morning. That's right. Man, doesn't that feel good? It feels good in here. Just to know that you look good to somebody. Go ahead and look at the person on the other side of you now. Look at the person on the other side of you that you don't like as much because you didn't choose them first. Go ahead and look at them right now. And go ahead and look at them, the person on the other side, and go ahead and ask them this question. I want you to ask them this question. Very important. Look at them and say, why are you here? Go ahead and ask them that. Why are you here this morning? You know, I can remember being in a Christian college a lot like this as I was coming up through my college years, and I can remember constantly asking myself, why am I here? And this my college years were so defining, it was so clarifying when God was speaking to me. He was helping me to understand how he created me. He was helping me to understand how he gifted me. He was helping me to understand what exactly he was calling me to, the mission that he was calling me to accomplish. And I want that to be our theme this morning. What is the mission that God is calling you to accomplish? One of those experiences that was really helpful in understanding my mission is actually a mission trip that I got to go on while I was in my Christian college. So there was actually a group that was already going to a mission trip in Jamaica. They had invited me to go. I literally knew nothing about the trip. They asked me to go last second. I heard it was Jamaica, so I paid the money and I went. So I went on this mission trip to Jamaica because I really felt God calling me to Jamaica. Can I get an amen? I saw an announcement this morning that God is calling some of you to Fiji. He may be calling me to Fiji as well. And so, man, it's amazing how God uses us to go all over the world, even beautiful parts of the world. And I can remember being in Jamaica for that week. And while we were in Jamaica, we went to this deaf school. And we just served this deaf school. Literally, I was on a rooftop all week long fixing a drainage system for this deaf school so that these believers could minister to the deaf children of Jamaica and teach them about Jesus. On the last day while we were in Jamaica, it was kind of, you know, there's no such thing as a mission trip without a play day, right? And so we had that play day the last day, and I will never forget that we went to this place, Duns River Falls, if you've ever been in Duns River Falls, where you got to climb up like 300 feet of waterfalls, and then we went to this place for dinner that night, and it was called Glistening Waters. And Glistening Waters was this restaurant in Jamaica that was there in the bay of the Caribbean Sea. And what you did is they told us that they would take you out on this glass bottom boat where you could see everything happening in the water beneath you. So they took us to a restaurant where we got to order our fish. They took us out in the boat while they were cooking that fish up. We get in the boat, and it is pitch black night. It's already about 8 p.m. that night. We get in the boat. It is not a glass bottom boat. It is a wooden bottom boat. It is dark outside. We're in the middle of this Caribbean bay and we can't see a thing. And so we start going out into the bay with this boat, and the weirdest thing that I had ever seen. The water around our boat began to glow. We thought at first maybe they were just shining some light so that we could see in the water, but the water was murky. We couldn't see anything. It wasn't lights from the boat because we could see 10 to 15 feet out fish that were swimming around. What we learned from this bay is that this bay was filled with billions and billions and billions of microscopic phosphoritic organisms to where they were almost like lightning bugs that you cannot see with the naked eye. And so there's so many of them that when they move around, they light up in the water. So they docked the boat, they parked the boat in the middle of the bay, and they say, now who wants to jump out and swim in the bay? And we're thinking, we've already heard about shark, stingray, coral, we're not getting in. And so they said, no, this is just 4 feet deep in the middle of this bay. You can jump in. We've never had, you know, an accident of shark bite, anything like that. And so I said, I will jump in second, as long as somebody jumps in before me. So one of my buddies jumped in. I jumped in. We all jumped in. And as we are moving, as we're splashing, as we're playing, as we're wrestling, the bay is lighting up around us. Everything that is moving is lighting up. And so we were having so much fun in there, we decided to get real still, real still. Let's make sure that everything turns dark again. So we got real still, swimming in the middle of this bay, and it all just turned black. It all turned dark again. We didn't realize, but our friend, Porkchop, decided not to get into the bay. Now, Porkchop, he was, my dude played some high school football. He was about 400 pounds. He was a big boy. I think he was wondering, you know, Kent, would he really make it? Would he survive? And so while everything was dark, while everything was black and we got everything still, Porkchop decided finally that he would get in. Boom, Porkchop jumps in. The entire bay lights up. You can see it from the moon. You know, it's crazy. The waves, the splashing, and all that kind of stuff. And it was a huge experience for me because I realized while I was on mission that it is when I am living the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus as the light of the world, as I'm living, as I'm obeying, as I am acting, as I'm serving, that is when I am able to shine the light of Jesus Christ on mission. I want you to know this morning that God has called you to a mission. Look at somebody and tell them right now, you're on a mission. And I realize that the reason you are here is because God has already revealed to you a part of that mission. But here's one thing I think we need to understand. I think we need to understand, first of all, our sinfulness. For so long, I had allowed my sin. For so long, I had allowed my selfishness. For so long, I had allowed my self-centeredness to define my mission, what my life could accomplish for me. But when I started to understand God's mission for my life, I had another issue. I started to see and I started to understand that His mission was impossible for me. That I could not accomplish His mission. While God was revealing to me the importance, the urgency, the priority of His mission over my mission, and how His mission for my life was better than my mission for my life, that His mission was more eternal, that His mission had more impact, that His mission had more glory, I started to understand the impossibility of His mission. Only 2.2 billion people in our world say that they are Christians. That's only about 32% of our world would even claim, not that they are believers, but that even claim Jesus is God. 1.8 billion say that they are Muslim. 1.2 billion say that they are Hindu. 1 billion say that they are atheist or no religion at all. 500 million say that they are Buddhist. 15 million say that they are Jewish or Jews. 1 million say that they are Wicca or some form of witchcraft, which means somewhere around 70% of our world do not claim Jesus as God. But then I've also been doing some other reading that is even more shocking. It's an incredible book, an author by the name of John S. Dickerson. You can read it. It's called The Great Evangelical Crisis. And John S. Dickerson, who's now a pastor, who used to be a journalist, has done the research, and he has said, if you ask gospel, essential, doctrinal questions to the average American, is Jesus God? Did Jesus come from heaven to live here on earth? Did Jesus live a perfect, sinless life? Did Jesus die on the cross bearing our sin? Was Jesus buried for 3 days? Did Jesus raise from the dead? Did Jesus ascend to the right hand of the Father? Is Jesus returning again? When you ask gospel essential questions of the average American, only about 9% of Americans claim that those essential doctrines are true. 9%. In fact, we know, as you've heard the stat before, about 75% of teenagers who grow up in the church, who are faithful in their church, once they graduate high school, they leave the local church and never return again. Some researchers tell us that somewhere around 2% of teenagers today, the next generation, are believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, our mission is impossible. I can understand the temptation of living our own mission for our own life, because that mission is so much bigger than us. That mission has so much impossibility to be able to accomplish. Why would we want to devote our life to something that seems so impossible? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus has called us to. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that He is calling us on this mission, and that He is calling our life to be a part of His mission. What makes we do it when we are on this mission, not only with Jesus, but empowered by Jesus? Not only with Jesus, but listen to me. Is your life empowered by Jesus? Have you listened to Jesus so much that what He has called you to is impossible if it's only left to you? Has He called you to a mission that you will fall flat on your face if He has not empowered you to do it? Has He called you to a mission that you could never accomplish if He doesn't do it through you? And so here is where I want us to land. Please open up in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, this is where Jesus is talking to His disciples before He ascends to heaven. We seem to always go to Matthew 28. I love Matthew 28, the Great Commission. I love it. But there is something so fresh about Luke 24 that I don't hear preached enough, that this is an expansion of the Great Commission, that I believe that Jesus is really clarifying for us some things that what He's calling me to and what He's calling you to. Luke chapter 24, verse 48 says this. Jesus said, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of My Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Here's what I believe. If we want to live and seek and accomplish the mission that God has laid on our life for His glory, the only way to do it, the only way that makes it possible, is to be filled with the ultimate missionary every single day. Our life only makes sense. Our life only is empowered. Our life is only strengthened. Our life is only given the wisdom as we are filled with Jesus on a daily basis. This is something that I want to confess to you this morning. This is not me preaching at you. This is me confessing to you my failure and my weakness in my life. I want to tell you my testimony. I want to tell you my story about how I did not prioritize this when I was in college and even while I was in ministry. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 says this. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." First of all, if we want to experience the ultimate missionary, Jesus Christ, in our life every day, I want you to know I am not just talking about having a personal devotional time. I want you to know I'm not just talking about reading your Bible. I want you to know I'm not just talking about praying. Because I think when we use those terms, read the Bible, pray, do my personal devotions, we are missing something so powerful. See, God has convicted me not just to do my personal devotions. God has convicted me to spend time with Jesus Christ in His Word. God has convicted me to not just pray. Savior. God is powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it hit me one day. Several years ago, while I was a pastor in ministry, and I just noticed that I had an idol that was dominating my life. And this idol had such control over me that it was greatly affecting my relationship and my time with Jesus. I found myself that I was going to bed as early as I could. I was staying in bed as late as I could. I found that the idol that was dominating my life was the idol of sleep. I was going through this time of my life where I never felt like I could get rested. Does anybody ever feel like that you just can't fully get rested? Am I the only person in here, man? I mean, I have had a serious battle and struggle with sleep, and I never felt like that I could just get rested and get the energy that I needed. And so I found myself trying to stay in bed as long as I could because Satan was deceiving me. That sleep was the strength that I needed. So I ended up going to a sleep doctor. I thought it was a physical problem. I said, "Hey doc, I've been putting it off. I didn't want the CPAP machine. I didn't want the mask. You know, I don't want that for my marriage. I didn't want that for my life." And so I said, "But I'm not sleeping. I need you to help me out." And so he did the test on me. And sure enough, he said, "Chip, you do not have sleep apnea." So he gave me a book. And you can write this down if you want to. The book's name was Good Night Mind. And I said, "Thanks, you want to bore me to sleep? Thanks, doc, I appreciate it." And so I read the book, and it actually changed my life. Very briefly, here's the point of the book that I had to learn. Sleep is not about length. Sleep is about depth. And what the book, how God used this book along with His Word to reveal to me is this. I started to trust in sleep as my strength giver. So as I was learning more about how God created our bodies and how God created our bodies to sleep more about depth than it is about length, then I started getting up earlier so that I could spend time with Jesus. And it was amazing. Jesus started meeting with me early in the morning so that I could experience Him on a deeper level. I started spending 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour in the morning with Jesus. Man, God started convicting me that if I was going to read through anything every year, it needs to be the Word of God. I started getting into the one-year Bible, reading the Old Testament a little bit in the morning, the New Testament a little bit in the morning, the Psalms and the Proverbs. I had been starved spiritually while I had a Bible college education. While I had a master's degree, I had all the knowledge that I needed, but I did not have that personal, daily relationship with Jesus. And listen to me, I was saved. I got saved at the age of 5. There's no doubt in my mind that I had not given my life to Jesus, that Jesus was not the Lord of my life. And all I can do is tell you how thankful I am that God was gracious to me through those years and that God still worked in my life. And that God continued to use me, because we're all sinners that God uses for as we submit our lives to Jesus Christ. But I had to learn one very important thing. As I was reading through the one-year Bible over and over again, year after year after year, I want you to hear me on this. I began struggling again because I started thinking, man, I am not remembering everything I want to remember. As the Word is calling me to meditate, I feel like that I'm really struggling getting something out of it. I feel like that as I want to just be able to recall everything that I read, and God spoke to me and God said, Chip, you will not remember every verse you read, but I will remember every verse you pray. You will not remember every verse you read, but I will remember every verse you pray. And so now as I'm reading through the one-year Bible, God has challenged me, don't just read through the Bible in a year, but to pray through the Bible in a year as God is internalizing His Word in my life through the power of His Spirit. I'm learning that it's not up to me, it is up to Him. He is the one with the power. And then there was a while that I was just, again, in rebellion against God. God was calling me. As ridiculous as this sounds, I'm just being real this morning because I don't think that we're able to be real enough with one another. As ridiculous as this sounds, God was calling me for months to spend my time in prayer on my knees. And I don't know what it was. There was a spiritual block. There was a spiritual hindrance. It was a satanic attack. It was deception. It was temptation. It was laziness. But I refused to do it. Until the moment that I just said, God, I've got to listen and I've got to obey. As small as this is, I believe this is something that you're calling me to do that's important. And every morning, after I read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I get into the Psalms and the Proverbs, is that Psalms is that book of worship. As Proverbs is the book of wisdom, is when I hit my knees every single morning and I say, God, just like I did this morning, God, I'm desperate for you. God, I worship you. Jesus, you've given me a mission of my life that I cannot accomplish. I cannot do this on my own. If I live today in my power, in my flesh, by my ability, I will fall flat on my face. And my life will not matter. And what I do will not be important and it will not be significant. But Jesus, I need you today to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Every single day, my goal is to be on my knees and to pray the gospel. Not pray the gospel for my salvation, but pray the gospel from my salvation. Jesus, you are my Lord. You have died for my sin. I repent. Help me to live in your Spirit in obedience. I believe that you rose from the dead. Give me the power of your resurrection. And then every day I personally pray Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. That he would fill me with his Spirit for wisdom. He would fill me with his Spirit for understanding. He would fill me with his Spirit for counsel. He would fill me with his Spirit for knowledge. He would fill me with his Spirit for the fear of the Lord. Jesus said, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me. Notice how he says, from the books of Moses, that's the Pentateuch, starting with Genesis, all the way through the prophets, including the Psalms, and we know as well the New Testament. Why is he saying that everything is fulfilled and interpreted about him? Here's why. So that we can experience Jesus in every single part of his word. That the word of God is not about any other man, not about any other woman, not about any other person, not about any other event. That does not point to Jesus. It all ultimately points to Jesus Christ. Why? Because the purpose is so that we can be filled with him. Look at verse 45. Verse 45 says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. By the way, time out. Wouldn't that be nice? That our minds would be opened to understand the scriptures. Jesus, in this moment, he was taking them deep. In God's word, Do I need this right here? Thank you.
Testing one. Here we go. Often what it means to go deep in the Word of God, what we think, what we're taught. I know what I was taught or what I thought what it meant to go deep was, man, I had to know systematic theology. And I'm going to be honest with you. My master's degree is in systematic theology. I have preached and I've taught through all of systematic theology. I love systematic theology, but that is not what Jesus is telling his disciples here about what it means to go deep. Other times we hear, man, you have to know the original Hebrew or the original Greek. I took Greek and Hebrew. I loved Greek and Hebrew. Man, they are fascinating, and it helps us to understand the Bible so much more. I support that type of education. It's needed. But that's not what Jesus said. Other people say, if you really want to go deep in the Word of God, you've got to go to the Holy Land. You've got to go to Israel. You've got to go walk where Jesus walked. Man, I believe that is so important. I believe that's a great trip. I hope I get to do it one day, but that's not what Jesus said. My question for you is, do you understand what it means to go deep in the Word of God? Because it says that Jesus opened up their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Jesus said, if you want to go deep in the Word of God, it is centralizing everything you read from the Word of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying, notice how everything is pointing back to the gospel. Every event, every story, every person, every character, every verse, everything that happens is ultimately finding its climax, ultimately finding its centrality in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I read God's Word, and I want to encourage you to read God's Word. I don't do this because I'm a good person. I don't do this because I'm a pastor. I do this because I'm a sinner, and I am desperate for God. I read God's Word because I need to be reminded of the gospel every single day. I need to be strengthened in the gospel every single day. Four, you can still hear me. We're good. I think one of the guys that I've met that may have impacted me the most on the way that he has internalized the gospel was just a man in his 30s by the name of DJ in his church. And it was one Wednesday night when we were at church. I was talking to DJ, and he said, Chip, you will not believe what just happened to me recently. I said, what's going on, DJ? And he said, well, we just had Father's Day. And he said, I asked for one of those DNA test kits for Father's Day, the 23andMe.com or whatever it is. And he said, I asked for it. He said, I did the blood test, and I sent it in. And he said, the results came back. And I said, cool, what'd you find out? And he said, Chip, you won't believe this, but I found out that I had a half-brother that I had, no, I'm sorry, a full brother that I had never met before. A full brother I had never met before. I said, how is that possible? He said, well, I guess he took the test as well, and so I learned that there's a full brother out there I had never met. And so he said, I got on Facebook, and I found him, and I messaged him, and he said we started getting to know each other. And he said, this guy, DJ, reached back out to this guy, and the guy told him, DJ, I need to give you a call. So the guy gave DJ a call. And DJ said, what's going on? And he said, well, I just need you to know that as we've been getting to know each other and that we are brothers, I need you to know that your dad is not your dad. The man that you have called your father all your life, the man that you were named after, that this man is actually not your dad. He said, the reason that I am your full brother is because your mom and this other man not only had me, but also had you, and your mom never told you. So DJ's looking at me, and he's telling me the story. I said, DJ, what? I said, first of all, we have counseling for you, man. I mean, we can help you out, you know, and man, help you walk through this. And I will never forget this. A smile comes across DJ's face. He said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I am going to go and meet my real dad that I never knew about. He said, this doesn't change anything in my life. He said, the man who who raised me, the man who I was named after, the man who I've always called dad. He said, he'll always be my dad. But this just gives me one more opportunity, one more person to share the gospel with somebody that I get to call family. And he looked at me and he said, Chip, here's what it all comes down to. He said, God is my father. He said, when God is my father, I find my identity in Jesus Christ. And he said, that is ultimately all that matters. And it hit me. That's the kind of gospel internalization that I need in my life. You know, the psalmist says, and that I will never be shaken. When the gospel is our truest identity, when we understand that who we truly are, most deeply are, down deep, that we have the identity of Jesus Christ in our life, his death and his resurrection. And I believe that comes from a personal daily walk with Jesus in his word. And then lastly, verse 47 says this, in that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Here's what I believe. I believe that when we are spending, when we are pursuing, when we are running after Jesus and our time with him in this way, these are the fruits that we experience. We begin to experience repentance. We begin to experience forgiveness. And those things drive us on our mission. Because we live in a world that is watching for real followers of Jesus. It doesn't matter how our culture changes. It doesn't matter what they say religiously. It doesn't matter what they say politically. It doesn't matter what they are saying on the news. It doesn't matter what they are saying as a nation. Listen to me. They are watching. I got to go to the Amazon jungle just a couple years ago. And I met a missionary there in the Amazon jungle. And the missionary told me a story about how he followed a pastor and they went 100 miles in the Amazon jungle looking for a specific people group. And as they were looking for them, there was a snake. As they were walking through the Amazon jungle, there was a snake that rose up out of the jungle floor, bit the pastor. The pastor fell out. The pastor was the guide. And my buddy, the missionary, had just gotten there. He falls on top of the pastor. He's just praying, man, may this poisonous snake not kill this pastor. He said, Chip, you will never believe it. He said, as I was praying for him, his eyes open, he sits up, and the pastor says, God told me that we got to get out of here. And so they left the Amazon jungle. They went out. He's like, dude, I'm with you. So they got out of there, and they went back into the village. And they went back into the village. There were five men that came up to him. And he said, the five men said, we were watching you two walk through the jungle the entire time. We saw the snake bite you. We saw you fall out. We saw you pray. We saw you rise up. We want to hear more about your God. And they ended up being the very same people that they were looking for in the jungle. I'm just telling you right now, God has put you on a mission. God has a mission for your life. The world is watching. And as we spend our time in the Word of God on a daily, personal, powerful way, that is how God is going to use us most for the mission that he has called us to. Because he said, you are my witnesses. But we have to be filled with the ultimate missionary, Jesus Christ, from his Word. Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would use your word in our lives today, in our lives this morning. Father, I pray that as Jesus told us in Luke 24, God, I pray that we would see Jesus in all the scriptures. We would be deepened and we would grow in the gospel from all out personally in repentance and forgiveness. God, so that we can be the witnesses, the missionaries. And God, we can accomplish the mission that you have specifically called to our lives because you are filling us. Jesus, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.